We're chatting today with Justin Blackman of Cookville, and Justin specializes in pyrography. And Justin, what is pyrography?
Pyrography is essentially a wood burning pin, and you just carve into wood with the pin, and it makes lines, dark lines in the wood. So essentially you're burning with a pin. It'd be like writing, but with wood.
And so you're creating art inside of wood, correct?
Yes. So it's it's very unforgiving in the sense of, like, if you were to take a pen and write on paper and you can't erase it, it's very much that same substance, but with wood and a hot iron. So
what happens if you make a mistake?
I think that's what makes it a lot of fun, is if you make a mistake, you have to basically say, this is a mistake and I'm going to make it work, or it doesn't work and we scrap it and we start over.
Oh, so if you got pretty far along in the process and you made a mistake, then what?
Yes. So, I keep going. I try not to stop if it's a large project, which I do some pretty large scale stuff. So, if I do make I don't like to think of it as a mistake, more so of like, it was meant to happen.
It was a happy accident, like Bob Ross said.
Yes, exactly.
Gotcha.
Exactly.
And so you're creating art inside of wood. So, like, what are the subjects that you're carving into the wood?
I was commissioned a while ago. A friend of mine had opened a bar in Lexington, Kentucky. It was a concert venue, and they wanted a Kentucky piece. So they didn't necessarily tell me what they wanted. They just wanted it to be the state of Kentucky. And they gave me free rein to go from there. And I thought it would be fun to do a somewhat geographically correct map of it. And, that was kind of where it started with the maps, that I do, which I don't know if you've been to Soulcraft Coffee. Mm-hmm. There's a map of Tennessee in there that I had done. But that was where I had first got the inspiration to do the maps that I had been making as far as out of wood.
Gotcha. Justin Blackman, our pyrographer on the scene. I'm chatting with Justin Blackman, pyrographer. Tell me how you got your start as an artist.
Well, let's see. I started by taking notes in eighth grade. I would do a nice paragraph of notes from the teacher, and then it would turn into drawings on every single class, every notebook I had. So I knew I initially loved drawing way more than I loved learning about anything else someone was teaching me. That's how I initially started, and I got into high school, and I remember the high school art teacher coming to me and being like, Justin, you have a knack for creating, and it's impressive, and it made me feel good in the sense that I'd never looked at it like that. I just thought it was something that I was doing, and it was never never brought to my attention that it was cool, if you would. And when that happened, he pushed me to go to art school to continue my career. I'd never even knew that you could actually go to art college and think until like 10th grade. And I realized that there was actually, you could go to art school and continue your career as an artist. So I did. I left Albany, Kentucky, where I graduated high school, and moved to Lexington, went to college in Lexington for a year, and then moved to Atlanta and went to art school, went to Art Institute of Atlanta. My major was graphic design, and I enjoyed graphic design, but there was a, an internship for a company, and it was very much like print production, not initially what I wanted to do as an artist, as far as making illustrations and things like that. So I was painting in the meantime, and I always loved painting, and that was fun. But it got to a point where it just wasn't fun anymore, if that makes sense. Like it didn't give me an excitement.
You weren't inspired.
I wasn't inspired anymore by it. And I had stopped, doing art for a long time. I had stopped doing art for a while. About 5 years, I had stopped completely, and somebody had bought me a wood-burning pen from Hobby Lobby. You can go buy them. You know, they're like $20. And I started with just, I took a board and I just started drawing designs on it. And it took me a long time. So I didn't learn that, you know, after I did it, I was like, I love this. I love the intensity of it. I love when you touch the pen to the wood, it starts burning, you know, it starts going straight to black. And that intensity was what I needed, in a sense, to be able to not stop. So whenever I put that pen down and the lines were going, and I committed at that point, you know, and it wasn't like painting where I would step back and I would question what I did and I'd go back into it and I would keep changing and changing. Whenever I did the wood burning, it was like, this is what you're doing. You're burning and we're going and we're not stopping now. So, and I loved it. And it got to a point where I learned. So then I started dabbling into the subject of pyrography and what that was. And, you know, there's a massive community of pyrographers. And even to get the pen that I had, which was very slow process, they sell commercial pens, which I had learned about. And I made that purchase to buy a commercial wood burning pen. And, you know, if it's in way hotter in the sense of how hot those pens get. So you can move a lot faster through wood, and you could do hardwoods and not just softwoods as far as what was easier to burn on. And that was it, you know, and I started just continually burning. And I had a friend approach me about a project that he wanted to do, and I had invested in a commercial pen. And that's when it really kicked off. Was I had done the state of Kentucky for him. It was a concert venue in Lexington, and I got a lot of compliments on that piece, and I think that's really what inspired me to continue to go into the art of pyrography. And I haven't really looked back since. You know, it's been a continual process of growth.
Today we'll meet with Emma Levitz, who is the owner of Little Mountain Stoneworks, and she specializes in limestone and marble carving, sculpture, and functional decor. Hi, Emma. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. From start to finish, how do you create one of your pieces? Just go through the whole thing.
Okay. Wow. So I get most of my stone now through Tennessee Marble Company, and picking out my stones, I go through their scrap pile. I buy cutoffs and scraps and things that would just be discarded from them because they're an architectural company, so their scraps are like perfect sizes for the type of work that I do. So the pieces I get are all a bit random, but I like to be kind of inspired by the specific rock at hand. So I'll have a block of stone. I don't usually have a full image of what I'm going to carve, but I'll usually know if I want to make it like a bowl or part of a mortar and pestle or something. And I use a mix of power tools. I have an angle grinder with a diamond saw blade on it that I'll use to cut into the stone to remove large chunks at a time. And then I have pneumatic chisels, and I do hand chiseling. It's kind of just like what tools you can find that will remove the rock the most efficiently and quickest while you also have control over it. And once I've carved it down to a rough shape, then I have all sorts of different types of sandpaper and tools I use to get it down to its fine polish.
So do you, before you create a piece, do you know where it's headed, or is it just flowing?
It's I guess case to case. Sometimes I just kind of start going into a stone and see what happens, because the stones I get, sometimes they're like completely covered in mud, or they have like saw marks all over them, and I can't really tell what the stone even fully looks like until I start getting into it anyway. So I definitely carve like in reaction to the stone. But I usually have some idea of like, all right, this will be a bowl of some kind or.
And what would you say the biggest inspiration is to create? Like, where does that come from?
I don't know. I mean, I guess I've always felt this need to create. I don't know if I can really describe where that comes from. It's kind of just, it feels like innate that I just, it's like another life need, mm-hmm. you know? And sometimes it's a form of self-expression, but sometimes it's just, it feels really good to get into this ultra-focused, like, flow state just all day where I can just be absorbed into this thing. And a lot of times it's more about the process than the final piece.
Yeah. If I want to, you know, check out your work, where would I go?
So you can go to my website at littlemountainstoneworks.com, or you can follow me on Instagram at Little Mountain Stoneworks, or on Facebook, same thing.
We're chatting with Justin Blackman, pyrographer. Justin, where do you find your greatest inspiration when creating a piece?
I think all of my inspiration comes really from the community that I put myself around, even the community of just going out into the nature here as well. And I think that when that inspiration strikes, you never know when it's coming. There's been weeks where I've had none, and then all of a sudden, like, tons of it, so much so that like I can barely handle, you know, as far as anxiety comes from having so much inspiration, and then trying to figure out where I want to go from there, which is it's fun. I love that intensity of having so much inspiration. I don't know which avenue to go down.
I get that,
you know?
Too. And then you're like, where do I go? What's the right, where's the right place to go?
Sure.
Am I making the right choice right now?
Yes.
By doing this, by putting my energy into this? Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
So you're inspired by nature. Would you say the Upper Cumberland is really inspiring?
I think it is the perfect place, and Cookeville specifically, because you have a city, and yet you can 10 minutes outside of Cookeville and you are in it. You know, you can go to waterfalls, woods. I mean, there's just so much going on. And that is incredibly cool, you know, from living in big cities and not having that, having to drive pretty extensively out, and then living in the middle of nowhere. And then not having the benefits of being in a city. And I think Cookeville's a happy medium.
Oh, it absolutely is. I lived in big cities my whole life, and then I came out here, and I'm like, wow, like, what was I thinking?
Yes.
Like, it's euphoric. It's really beautiful here. So you, when you carve in wood, so I would imagine when you're, like, seeing trees, do you ever get your pen out and go to town?
Yeah, you could just see me out in the middle of the woods with a generator, just going to town on some poor tree out there.
Yeah, I mean, does the wood inspire you, like the trees? Like,
you know, I think what's inspiring about burning on wood is you never know what the wood's going to do, because you can, you know, it doesn't, you know what the pin's going to do because it's hot and it's made to burn into wood, really it can burn into any natural substance, I guess. But you don't know what the grain of the wood's going to do. So there's a fun intensity there that is, you know, it kind of, it will speak to you in the sense of what is going to happen when you touch the pin to the wood itself.
So what is the best type of wood to use?
So, you know, the subject, like as far as picking the wood, you could use any wood. I think the best woods to use are lighter in color. So pine and basswood, those things are soft and easier to burn on. I have found that pine is probably one of the easiest to burn on, and it's easy to see as far as not having like a super dark wood like walnut or something in that area where it's not as easy to see the lines that you're making.
We're talking wood burning with Justin Blackman on the scene.
Helping guide you on the path to a new craft. It's your art on the scene.
Today I'm chatting with Betty Turner, who is a mixed media artist. She specializes in illustration of women, and she uses watercolor, pen and ink, and acrylic. Her stuff is amazing. She also does hand-painted cards, and then she has a greeting card line. And she's holding one of her greeting cards right now, and she just told me the story behind it, and I'd like for everyone else to hear. Tell me about this greeting card.
Okay, this particular greeting card is based on the poem, "When I'm Old, I Will Wear Purple." And when I did this, a friend of mine who is a librarian, she asked me to read the poem and come up with an illustration for it, just for fun. And so I thought about my grandmother when I did this, and this is the very first illustration that I did that's sort of humorous stories about women, and they're women that I know and who are an inspiration to me. Many of them are friends and many are family members. But this one was my grandmother, and her name was Sophie Locke, and she had a five and dime store in Matt Mimble that when her husband passed away, she had four children to raise, and at that time, which was in the 1930s, they were going through a depression, and she also had the responsibility of four children to raise. But women at that time just did not go into business. And so people discouraged her from continuing the five and dime business after her husband died, which would have been my grandfather. But she needed to make a living, and she needed to raise her children. So she persevered, and she couldn't get anyone that would sell to her, so she had to order everything with her initials so they did not know that she was a woman. And she had a very successful business. In fact, she had three different dime stores in three communities, one in Winchester, one in Matt Mimble, and one here in Smithville. And she also had a wholesale business, and she also had a line of glassware that she rented for big receptions and weddings and things like that. And I don't know, people may remember Fustin's Five and Dime that used to be here in town. And Mr. Fustin told me that when he went into business, that my grandmother sold wholesale to him. So she was an inspiration to me and to the rest of our family, because she taught us about perseverance and that, you know, women can succeed in life.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you. We're talking with Justin Blackman, pyrographer on the scene. Justin, I went into Soulcraft Coffee and I saw the most beautiful wood burned. It's the state of Tennessee, and it was wood burned with all kinds of beautiful imagery in it. What was the process behind that?
When I did the map, essentially it's a map. I like to consider it a modern native map, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But when I started, there's a bar called The Burl in Lexington, Kentucky. It's a music venue. And if you could see that piece and then go to the Tennessee piece and see the growth as far as me as an artist on a subject moving into it, it got more geographically correct. So, like, I used teepees as townships. So, like, if there was a town, it would have a teepee. So, and it made it fun because no matter where you're from in Tennessee, or if you just have an area in Tennessee, you could go to that area and find a teepee. And then if it's a bigger town, you know, the process was so intense where I was looking up every city and trying to mimic something to like relevate that city to what I was doing on the wood itself. A lot of Native American symbolism in it, like actual Native American symbolism. So like the symbol for horse tracks is the interstates and the roads.
Mm.
And so I tried to kind of, it's kind of interactive, you know. I don't think you could ever walk in there and look at the piece in its entirety in one sitting. You know, mm-hmm. I think you'd really have to sit. It'd take a long time. I mean, they take a long time to make, so I couldn't imagine even trying to look at what's going on in the piece. Because from far away, it just looks like Tennessee, you know.
Yeah, and then you get up close and you're like, whoa, this is intense. Yes. How long did that take you?
That took a long time.
Yeah.
I would say, I right now I have I have 5-year-old twin boys that I watch. Mom works, so I watch the kids. And so I try to spend my evenings in the studio burning. But that piece did take about 9 months, I think,
wow.
in total to complete. And, you know, again, it always starts with the I'm not going to get too detailed. And then it never works out that way. My wife laughs because I'm constantly, like, picking the most intricate things and then moving forward with it.
I'm that way when I'm creating. When I'm painting, I get to where I have, like, I'll make these rules in my head of how it's going to go. And then once you get into the moment, it's almost like a force takes over and you got to flow with it or you're going to get really uncomfortable.
That's it. You need
to just let it just – you just let it flow through you because it's trying to express itself.
That's it.
And so there's no need to deny it. Are you working on anything? So it took you 9 months. So would you,
Yes. You
know, consider taking up a project like that again?
So I do a lot of my work comes from commission art, which is great to have people coming to me wanting my stuff. There's nothing more motivating than somebody coming and asking me to do something for them that's in the same subject matter that I've been working with. But I am doing a piece of North Carolina right now. So it's about the same size, 8 foot wide. And it is very intense. It's even more probably detailed than the Tennessee map.
Wow.
So, so it's a lot of fun, in the sense of learning all these areas, you know, like you think, you know, North Carolina. And then once you get into like the gold mining communities, all the mountain communities, all the history of like doing the ocean, I never got to do the ocean before. So like figuring out how I'm going to illustrate and interpret the ocean, on this map has been, fun. I've gotten all the way through the mountains and I've gotten to the coast and it's blank right now. And I'm still on this like search of like, how am I going to make little tiny palm trees? You know,
are you putting any fish in there?
So and this is how my brain works, right? So I look up all the shipwrecks that are documented. So every shipwreck that's been documented off the coast of North Carolina is now on this map.
Wow.
And what's funny is it's burned and it turns almost black when you burn. And then I cover it up in black. So you can't see it when you're just looking at it. You really have to get up within, you know, 12 inches of the piece. And then you're like, oh, man, there's little fish in here. There's shipwrecks. Oh, there's hurricanes. Like, what's going on here?
That's, you know? So amazing.
Yeah. So
wow.
It's fun because, again, too, like if I don't know who's into understanding what shipwrecks are off the coast mm-hmm. of North Carolina. But if you're out there mm-hmm. and you go and you see that piece and then you're like, whoa, he's got, you know, Blackbeard yeah. shipwreck right here.
I can't wait to see it. when you post it, how can people find your work?
Yeah, so I'm on social media. I am on Instagram. That is Antwood. That's A-N-T, like the insect, W-O-D underscore. And then I also have a website. That's antwoodworkshop.com.
Awesome.
So you can check it out there. And if you need any projects done, let me know.
Absolutely. Woodworking expert Justin Blackman on the scene. Today we will meet with Jay Replegol with Replegol Armory. He specializes in custom knife work. Jay, when did you take an interest in working with metals? And when did it evolve into becoming a bladesmith?
Well, I've always been interested in blades ever since I was a little kid, you know, hunting with my dad. I loved knights and dragons. And so a really important thing was my aunt and uncle used to take my brother and I on a historical vacation every year. And so I got to see at these historical villages and places, blacksmiths actually working. And I was just really fascinated by it. So I liked knives and swords from a kid, and then when I got to college, I realized that I could major in that. And so it just sort of grew and blossomed from this love I had when I was a kid to now I'm an adult, like still doing it.
Where did you receive your training to learn how to do all of this? Because it's fascinating.
Actually, at Tennessee Tech over at the Appalachian Center for Craft. I actually have a Bachelor of Fine Art degree in metalsmithing from there with a concentration in blacksmithing.
Wonderful. So you always knew that this was your path. You never went on a different path. This was always it for you.
Well, I actually was a history major in college to start off with because I love history. But this sort of melds all my loves of history, of making things, of artistic expression, all sort of combined into one. You know, it's sort of like my whole path. Everything I've ever done is like pointed to this spot.
I see that in your work. You know, I see the history in it. And so I can totally relate to what you're talking about. We see that coming through. So where can I find you? How can I buy one of your knives?
You can email me at replogalarmory@gmail.com. Follow me on Facebook or Instagram. And I have a website, replogalarmory.com.
What's your Instagram and Facebook?
Replogalarmory.
We'll just check in.
I keep it simple.
Okay. All right. Gotcha. That's
but
good.
if you want more, my website's kind of dated. I need to update it a little bit. But Instagram and Facebook is really sort of a day-to-day, you know, you get to see daily what I'm producing or what I'm working on. It's sort of a much more up-to-date platform to be looking at.
Thank you so much. This was a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.